We're going to do a three-week series that's all about stepping into rest. How many know that when you meet Jesus, even though you're working, even though you're laboring or exercising all at the same time, how many know we are called to live in a state of rest? And after we have fasted for 3 weeks, can I tell you something? We are more ready to walk and to live in the rest of God. We're more ready than ever before. How many believe that? How many believe we're ready to live in the rest of God? Now, I know that wasn't a strong cheer, and I'm going to tell you why. It's because rest is this slightly mystical, elusive thing that is easy for us to miss. In fact, David said, "Return to your rest, my soul." David had to speak to his own heart. He said, "Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." Right? And so some of us, part of what has to happen is you have to have a little talk with your soul. You have to chew on some truths and realize that God has been good and that God is good. Anybody here feel like God is good? He's good. He's faithful. And so you and I should live, breathe, walk, work in rest. And this is deep, but it's wonderful. This is so wonderful when it happens. But here it is, Christians, we slip in and out. We fall in and out of rest. And it's even though it's promised to us, even though it's a major part of the teaching of the Bible, when you talk about rest, especially to Americans, like we're like, rest, what is that? You know? It's like, what is that? We work more than anybody else on the planet. Americans lead the way in rest. I found out Americans get interrupted every 2 minutes of the day, except when they're sleeping, by some kind of ping or ding or notification. Every 2 minutes of the day, you and I are interrupted by a text or a notification or this or that. That's why I put my phone on silence. You know? Meanwhile, I'm telling you right now, the year that God has for you is a year of rest. And this is deep. Be at rest once more, O my soul. Are you in rest or are you in stress? A lot of Christians, they walk more in stress than in rest. And it's so below, it's so beneath God's a destiny, God's plan and purpose for your life. God wants us to live and to work, but to all at the same time, you'll see in a moment, he wants us to do it in a state of rest. This is so deep, so powerful. In fact, I would say, if you really want to be a Christian that testifies to the goodness of God, you got to step into rest. Because a stressed out Christian is not a good testimony for Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. And so you have to step into it, though. You're going to see right now. This is a quality of life series. 3 weeks speaking to the quality of your life. What's the quality of the life that God has for you? He wants you to live in a state of rest. Everybody go like this. Go. Come on. Some of you can't even breathe deep. Good gracious. Chill out. I almost called it the chill out series. It might have been a little too cheesy. Okay, let's go right to the Bible now. And I want you to know it's going to be 3 weeks, so I'm going to read everything that we're going to cover over the course of 3 weeks. But I'm only going to be addressing today the first three verses. So, Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 8, says, "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. Now stop here, everyone look at me. When it was talking about Joshua, when they left Egypt, okay, they were slaves 400 years. This was a type of what the bondage of sin is like. Then the Passover lamb came. And after the Passover lamb, they were set free. But even though they left Egypt and they were supposed to enter into the promised land, they see some people leave Egypt, but they don't step into the promise. Some people leave Egypt, they're saved, but they don't enter in fully into the rest of God. You see, God wants to bring you fully into his rest. God wants to redefine the way you live your life, the quality of your life. So in the Old Testament, all of these were pictures to show us what Christ wanted to do for us. So now Joshua leads them finally into the promised land. But when they stepped into the promised land, even with all of the victories, that was more material. That wasn't the deep, deep spiritual rest that Jesus would come to give to the soul of every human heart. Jesus came to give us deep, deep rest. He came to give us life and joy and peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. How many know there is something deep available to us? It's a supernatural rest. Be at rest once more, O my soul, goes more than just peace on the outside. It says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who, come on, read these three words with me, ready? Enters God's rest. For anyone who enters God's rest. Where do we get stepping into rest? That word enter literally means that we step into it. Okay? God wants you to step into something different in him. Okay? God has something for you, but you have to, by faith, step into it. So the people of God have to enter into that rest. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works just as God did from his, speaking to creation. And on the seventh day, he rested. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. This is biblical. This is Bible. God wants you to make efforts. We're going to spend 3 weeks learning, thinking, growing into stepping into rest, into not worrying all the time, into giving up your anger and your unforgiveness. Right? Into giving up like the complaints and the obsession with conspiracies. Uh-oh. He's messing with stuff now. You know what they're doing? Who cares what they're doing? Jesus is on the throne. He will be with us. He will protect us. Man, I haven't even gotten through the text yet. I'm like, let's go. It says, so that no one will perish, watch this, by following their example of disobedience. So it's interesting. I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't rest, you'll find yourself in disobedience. In other words, if Jesus is not giving you the rest that you need, then you're going to look for it elsewhere. That's what we're talking about here. That is what is at stake. Meanwhile, think about the grandeur of the promise of God to our lives. He wants 2026. No matter what happens, even when the heat breaks, he wants us to rest. Okay? Now, let's keep going because I want to read the whole thing. This is for the next couple of weeks. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account, and we will give an account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Wow. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our, come on everybody, say it, weaknesses. What an amazing God. Our God sympathizes with our weakness. He doesn't condemn us for our weakness. He sympathizes with our weakness. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's kind and compassionate and merciful. What does he want for you? What does he want for me? He wants us to rest. It says, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus knows what we're going through today. But here's, we'll close on this. All 3 weeks, we have to close on the same thing. In fact, all of New Testament Christianity revolves around this verse right here. Why do we have a prayer meeting? Because of this verse. Okay, you ready? It says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hallelujah. Why do we go to pray? Because we all need mercy. Why do we all go to pray? Because we need grace. How many know there's a throne of grace that's open and available to the people of God? If you're a child of God, the throne of grace is available. People are trying to get into so many throne rooms. I'm telling you right now, we have the best throne room. We've got access to the best place. Could you praise God with me? We have access. Hallelujah. To the best place to actually find true rest. And so the title of the message today is God's Rest. We're going to start this series by focusing on God's rest. And listen, there's man's rest, but then there's God's rest. So I want to pray. If you're watching online, in the silence of wherever you are, in the privacy of that moment, the Spirit of the Lord wants to give you rest. He wants to do that for all of us. For single moms, for people who find themselves in great conflict. You'll see in the weeks, for people who are battling with profound insecurity and people who are struggling with all kinds of sin. Wherever we are, he came to give us rest. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would breathe on us today. I pray, Lord, that you would reach people online. Thank you, God, for first-time visitors, Lord. How wonderful it would be for them to receive, Lord God, just a breath of your rest. God, but young and old, we need this, and you've promised it to us. And I pray that you would help us to enter into your rest. Not the rest of the world, not the rest of man, not even the rest of our own design. God, I pray for God's rest. I pray it for individuals. I pray it for marriages. I pray for families. Help us to step into rest. We trust you to do it in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to the living God. So let's very quickly here. What is rest? Okay, now I broke down, I simplified a definition, but here's what rest is. Rest is a state of blessing. Rest is a state of blessing and calm that makes you trust in your salvation and live in expectation. Okay, look at me for a second, look at me. So rest is this unique dynamic that can reside inside of you where you're really relaxed and really ready. That's the way we're called to live as Christians. Okay, God makes you calm and aggressively hopeful at the same time. Okay? So you're calm, but at the same time, you're aggressively hopeful. What does aggressively hopeful mean? It means that when you wake up, there's something inside of you, even though you're super calm, at the same time, you're like, man, what's God gonna do today? How's God gonna use me today? When you're reading your Bible, you're like, give me what I need because I know you want to use me today. How many know God wants to use you today? Hallelujah. There's something inside of you that is calm and aggressive at the same time. I have to tell you, I learned this. Actually, when I was a little boy, I learned this in sports. You know what makes someone like a superior athletic performer? I call it relaxed intensity. Super relaxed, super intense. You see? You want to be good at your job? I'm telling you right now, learn the rest and the aggression that God has called you to live with. Okay? Super chill, super relaxed, and at the same time, ready. Because God's about to do something. You see, this is a unique dynamic, but it's a unique dynamic that the Holy Spirit enables you and I to step into. You know, I remember there was a season. I mean, they still do this, but you know, sports teams hire sports psychologists, and part of the purpose of a sports psychologist is to help someone find the zone. Oh, that guy's in the zone. What does it mean to be in the zone? It's relaxed intensity, right? And so the Bulls had one of those guys, and you know what? I don't think he ever had a session with Michael Jordan, because Michael Jordan went up to him and said, the zone. He said, I put the zone on like a coat. Come on, how many know Michael Jordan knew how to play in the zone? But God wants you to live in the zone like Michael Jordan played in the zone in 2026. How many believe that's available to us? What does that mean? It means that this year, you're going to be really relaxed. You're not going to live in worry. You're not going to live in doubt. You're not going to give in to stress. But at the same time, you're ready for God to do something. Now listen, it will make you calm and aggressive at the same time. And here's what we need to understand today. Man's rest can take place without God, but God's rest can only take place within God. So you can go on vacation and get rest, but that's not God's rest. You see? You can go to a spa and have a nice, I mean, ladies go to the spa, for example, and men, that you go to the spa, you expect to be refreshed. Great. But that's not God's rest. God's rest is down deep. We'll talk more about it next week, but you see how he talks about the word goes deep. Okay? The word gives us rest in deep places. God wants to give you rest in deep places. And look at what St. Augustine, great theologian, once said, our heart is restless until it rests in you. So a big question is, are you resting in Christ today? Have you found the rest of God? Because God is a giver of rest, and he wants us to walk in his supernatural rest. And it's beautiful, and it's wonderful. See, man's rest is outside in. God's rest is inside out. Okay, God's rest is built from our spirit, and then it flows to the outside. The problem with outside-in rest is that it never reaches all the way in. Just never gets there. So you can go sit on the beach in Tahiti for 9 months, and you can rest. You can get a tan. But God's rest will meet you in Humble Park. Right? God's rest will meet you anywhere. In Philadelphia, right? It'll meet you in your office, in a place that's filled with gossip, right? In a place that's dominated by politics, you can walk in rest. Isn't it wonderful to know the Lord because he's the one who gives us rest? He gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. Listen to this, just in case you need a rest check. I've got this quote. This is so cool. Listen to this. I got to read this to you. One measure for whether or not you're rested enough, besides falling asleep in board meetings, is to ask yourself this. How much do I care about the things I care about? When we lose concern for people, both the lost and the found, for the bride of Christ, for friendship, for truth and beauty and goodness, when we cease to laugh when our children laugh and instead yell at them to quiet down, and none of us have ever done that before, right? Or weep when our spouses weep and instead of wish they didn't get so emotional. When we hear news of trouble among our neighbors and our first thought is that we hope that it isn't going to involve us. When we stop caring about the things we care about, that's a signal we're too busy. We've let ourselves be consumed by the things that feed the ego but starve the soul. Busyness kills the heart. And so we've all been there where we're looking at stuff and we know the Lord, but we're really not resting in the Lord. There's a rest in God that makes you whole, strong, loving, and anointed. Whole, strong, loving, and anointed. Just good. How you doing? I'm good. So how does this happen? How does God do this for us? And how does he give his children rest? Okay? We rest. I usually do 2 points, but I'm going to give you 3 today. We rest when, first of all, we rest in the sun. I'm not talking about the S-U-N, I'm talking about the S-O-N, okay? So I want to say before I open this topic, I have observed over the years that this is one of those topics that Christians have a propensity to say, oh, I know that, let's get to something deep, okay? Oh, I know that, okay? You know it, but you don't know it. You don't know it if it's not profoundly affecting you. So do you rest in the sun? Are you resting in the sun? If you're not resting in Christ, you're not resting at all. Okay? So what does it mean to rest in the sun? Okay? Resting in the sun means, it says it in the text, it means that we rest from our works. Okay, so resting in the sun means that, look at what it says, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. So what are we talking about in regards to our works? There is a state, a spiritual state, where when we think about God or when we think about approaching God, we have accepted fully the forgiveness of God. And for people who don't accept fully the forgiveness of God, they are always feeling like God might love them, but he really doesn't like them. They feel like God loves other people more than me because when God looks at me, he sees how messed up I am. And so I get to ride on the bus, but I'm in the back of the bus. You know? And yes, I know that God paid the price for me, but I'm not really happy about it. See, if you're not really happy about your salvation, if you're not really grateful that Jesus paid the price for your sin and that he remembers your sin no more, chances are you're walking around carrying your sin when you're not supposed to. If you're carrying your failure, if you're carrying your weakness, you're not resting in God. Many, many Christians. You know why a lot of people don't lift their hands in worship? I'm going to tell you why. They're embarrassed. They're like, I'm so self-conscious, and what if somebody sees me and they know me? When we praise God, We're not praising God because of us. We're praising God because of him. Come on. It's like we cheer for singers. We cheer for politicians. We go crazy. Why? Because your only focus is on them. Well, why are we not focusing on Jesus? Come on, Christ is our firm foundation, the rock on which we stand. There's therefore now no condemnation. You see, and the people who struggle with condemnation, they don't get to step into the rest of God. You see, let me put it this way. All the riches of Christ spring forth from the rest that we get from accepting Jesus. All the riches of Christ spring forth from what Christ did on the cross for us. Okay? He did it. He worked it. We don't have to do anything except just receive the goodness of God. When we enter God's rest, we rest from our works. We don't have to earn anything from Jesus. We don't give because we earn. We don't pray because we earn. We don't read because we earn. No, we don't work to be loved. We work because we're loved. We don't work to be accepted. We work because we are accepted. Come on, somebody say, hey, amen, we've been accepted. And if you don't get that right, your brain is always processing how God feels about you in the wrong way. You see? And I'm telling you right now, there is no past, no sin, past or present, that Jesus can absolutely 100% erase under the power of the blood. Could we praise God for the power of his blood? Hallelujah. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If you want to rest, you have to stop letting the devil put shame on you. You can't walk in rest and in shame at the same time. We're going to deal with that a little bit more. But man, when we rest, we're like, thank you, God, for saving me, for loving me. It's all uphill from here. It's all up. You know, it might be challenging, but it's good because I know that you will be with me every step of the way. So you got to rest in the sun. And there's one more thing I want to say about this. When you rest in the Son, you also rest in the words of the Son. Okay? So this is very, very important. You know, I hope that tonight when you go to read the Bible, right, that tomorrow when you wake up, you are ready to receive the Word of God, knowing that that Word is going to give you rest. See, the Word of God should encourage you. Actually, I believe, this might sound strange to you, but not to me, there's nothing more exciting than a word from God. It's the absolute, and I never get tired of reading the Bible and saying, oh my goodness, look, hallelujah, that's for me. You know, this word is for me. This is good. You know, when you read your Bible in the morning, you get a word from God. Stand up, man. I walk around in my office. I got my robe on, but I'm like praising God. This is for me, Lord. This is for my children, for my grandchildren. This is for the people of our church. This word of rest, this is for you. I already prayed it. I know it's true. God wants to give us rest. Hallelujah. This message should change your Bible reading, this truth. Because when you rest in the Son, you rest in his word, and you want to keep on resting. How do you keep on resting? You keep on receiving the word of God. It's this constant receiving. You're like, come on, Lord, you're going to give me something today. Hallelujah. So the first way that we rest is it all begins in Christ. There is no other person or source of this kind of rest any place in the universe. Only in Christ can we truly rest. And I want to encourage you today, don't miss this moment. If you really want to grow in 2026, I'm telling you right now, your growth in Christ will be built on your resting in Christ. But as you rest in Christ, it's like there's no limit to how God will grow you and use you. How many would say amen? Hallelujah. So first of all, we rest in the Son. Then we rest in our struggles. Then we rest in our struggles. Have you learned how to rest in your struggles? Struggles include suffering. Struggles include stress, because on this side of heaven, there will be struggles. There will be stress. But we rest in our struggles because we know that Christ is with us, the hope of glory. You see, when you rest in the Son, all of a sudden, when the struggles come, when the hardships come, you have a different take on it. You see, you look at it differently. Look, this is how you know you can rest in your struggles, all right? You know you're resting in your struggles when the Holy Spirit, deep down inside, gives you the ability to look on the bright side of things. Go ahead and pop that up for me, okay? Looking on the bright side of things is something that can be very, very supernatural. Like something bad happens, something difficult happens, and you're like, this is heartbreaking, this is heart-crushing, but I know that God is good. I know that God is faithful. I know that even when I don't understand, even when my heart is broken, I know that all things work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. I may not understand today, but I will understand tomorrow, because I know one thing is true. My God is a good God. He's a good, good Father. Hallelujah. If you can't look on the bright side of things, go pray, because you need to step into rest. That's what needs to happen. You see, when you are in this place of rest, even in your struggles, you know light and relief is coming. It won't be long. God is good. You know, God will fix the heat. You know, God will bring the car that we need. God will help us. God will open the door. Because God is faithful. You know, when our services start, especially in the morning, like sometimes people just come to the altar, and today at the altar, one of our staff members, Zareda, was at the altar, and she was at the altar on one of those little like bike things for a scooter, like. Okay, come on, you know somebody's not playing when they bring their scooter to the altar, right? So, there's no joke. So here's what happened, and I ran into her this week. So this week, I ran into her this week, but about 4 weeks ago maybe, was it about 4 weeks ago? Más o menos. She was on her very well-deserved, well-earned sabbatical. So if you have no idea the kind of hours our people put in. And so anyway, she was supposed to be on her month off. She's been here, I forget, X amount of years. You hear X amount of years, you get a month off. She was on it, well-deserved. She was in London. She and Juan, imagine, they planned for it, they saved for it. Or in Paris. No, I think it was London. If she was in London, she trips, falls, tears her Achilles tendon, hits her head, and I mean, it was a huge gash. Okay? So I remember when I got the text, where I was standing about it, And I was like, no. I was like, no. I wasn't like, all things work together for good. I was like, no, Lord. No. No. How could it be, Lord? They so earned this. But she says to me, I spoke to her the other day. She said, as soon as it happened, I just kept saying, Lord, you're in control. Lord, you're in control. Lord, I know you're in control. I'm not going to be moved. You're in control. I'm staying steady. You're in control. And we don't have time for the whole story, but I'm going to give you the high points. She gets to the hospital. And even though she has to wait and all kinds of stuff, she gets in there. And when she gets in there, she's like, Lord, you're in control. And while she's going through all of that, she meets a nurse who's a baby Christian. And she starts to minister to her. And God begins to use the gash in her head and the tear in her tendon to say to a baby Christian, look, even when things go bad, God is in control. And you can be up and you can be strong. Be encouraged, my sister. God is in control. And then, without giving details, one of her family members, there's some people who've been estranged, and somehow through this fall, God brought a restoration of a relationship and community. God can use the gash in your head to repair and restore, because all things work together for our good. Someone heard about it and they said, hey, if you could get away again, we're going to give you this. It'll be for free. You'll be able to do it. And then they went and got another vacation and they said it was the best vacation they've ever had. They rested. They were blessed. They were like, this was unbelievable. You know why? Because God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. So we can rest in our struggles. Church history, Bible history tells us that we can rest in our struggles. It tells us that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. It tells us that in our darkest hour, I'm telling you right now, in our darkest hour, He is right there. And if you're really going through it today, look up and find rest. One of the hardest things as a pastor is for people to suffer. It's the worst thing. It's the thing. If you ask me one question, what do you dislike the most about pastoring? That's it. It's when people suffer, when people go through hardship. Because it's so powerless. You feel so powerless. And yet at the same time, God, He surrounds us with songs of deliverance, the Bible says. He ministers a peace that surpasses all understanding. You know what she kept saying to me? She kept saying, I experienced the peace that surpasses all understanding. She was like, Pastor, I'm telling you, it was so supernatural. She didn't say it was worth it, but she almost did. You see? See, in Isaiah, the Bible says, I will give you the treasures of dark places. There are treasures in seasons of darkness. There are treasures in seasons of us not understanding. And that's why we can rest. He's able. He's faithful. He reigns. He's good. Come on, I've got one more point, but could you lift your hands right now? I feel the presence of the Lord here. Hallelujah. Let's worship the God of rest just for a moment. We worship you. Maybe you're here and you're in the struggle, and part of what you need to say is, God, I'm willing to trust you again. I'm not going to stop trusting you, God. I know that there's a miracle around the corner. I know, Lord, that you don't waste my suffering. We choose to rest in you, God. Impart your rest. We bless you. You're always in control. You're the God who sits enthroned above the flood. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Be at rest once more, O my soul. Now listen, I want to say one more quick thing to you, and we'll close. Remember, rest is calm, but rest is also aggressive. Rest is calm, but it's also aggressive. And how is rest aggressive? Right? How do we do that? Here's what we do. We rest in the Spirit. Everybody say, I want to rest in the Spirit. New Testament Christianity is marked by people receiving from the Spirit and being empowered to be used by the Spirit. That's real Christianity. And so the aggressive part of all of this is that you're saying, I know this week, God, you're going to speak to me and you're going to use me. I'm going to open my mouth. I'm going to make a phone call. I'm going to lay hands on somebody. I'm going to help someone. I don't know what the plan is, but when I get there, I'm going to know you want to use my life. And I rest in your Spirit, and I trust that your Spirit is going to quicken and empower me. You're going to anoint me. Real New Testament Christianity says that in 2026 in the city of Chicago, he wants his children walking around saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me. Hallelujah. He has anointed me. He has anointed me to preach the good news to the captive. Hallelujah. To lay hands and see people healed. How many believe that's the kind of Christianity we're believing God for? How does that happen? We're resting in the Spirit. And as we rest in the Spirit, we see God move. I'll close with this. In Zechariah, it says, not by might, and that's speaking of human might, nor by power, that's speaking of human power, of political power, geopolitical powers. It's not by any of those things. He said, it's but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's by the Holy Spirit. We rest because we rest in the power of the Holy Spirit upon us. How many believe God, after Jesus rose from the dead, he said, I want to put my Spirit of power upon your life. We want to believe God for his biggest and best. If you believe in God for a great 2026, you got to rest in the Spirit of power upon your life. Come in power upon us, oh God. Use us by your mighty power. We want to push the lid off of our unbelief and say, I'm ready to receive and be used by the power of the Spirit of God. You still move in power. Hallelujah. You still work by the power of God. Look at what Andrew Murray said. He said, the branch, this is from John 15, the branch has no responsibility except just to everyone. Wow. Amazing. Amazing.